Shabbat Shalom. There once was a Jew who went out into the world to find justice. Somewhere, he was certain, true justice must exist if he could only find it. So he set out on a quest that lasted for many years. And he went from town to town and village to village. And everywhere he went, he searched for justice. As it is written, justice, justice shalt thou pursue. But never did he find it. In this way, many years passed, and he explored all of the known world, except for one last great forest. And he entered that forest without hesitation, for by now he was fearless. And he went everywhere in that forest. He went into the huts of witches, where they were stirring their brews, and they laughed at him and said, "Do you expect to find justice here?" And he went into the caves of thieves, and they laughed and said, "Do you expect to find justice here?" And he went further and further into that forest until at last he came to a strange little cottage. And he stood outside that cottage and he peered through the window, and he saw many flickering flames, and he wondered about it. And he went to the door and he knocked. No answer. And he knocked again. Nothing. And he pushed the door open and stepped inside. Now, as soon as he entered that cottage, he realized that it was much larger on the inside than it appeared to be from the outside. And he saw that it was filled with dozens of shelves. And on every one of those shelves, there were hundreds of oil candles. And some of them were in very precious holders of gold or silver or marble. And some of them were in very cheap holders of clay or tin. And some of them were full of oil. And they had long, straight wicks and they burned brightly. And some of them had very little oil left. Just then, an old man appeared out of nowhere with a long white beard, wearing a white robe. And the old man said, "Shalom Aleichem, my son. How can I help you?" And the man said, "I've gone everywhere searching for justice, but never have I seen anything like this," he said. "Tell me, what are all these candles?" And the old man said, "Each of these candles is the candle of a person's soul. As long as the candle continues to burn, the person remains alive. But when the candle burns out, the person's soul takes leave of this world." And the man said, "Can you show me the candle of my soul?" And the old man said, "Follow me." And he led him through that long labyrinth of a cottage that the man now realized was endless. And at last he brought him to a low shelf. And there he pointed to an oil candle in a holder of clay. And he said, "That is the candle of your soul." And the man took one look at it, and he began to quake, because there were only a few drops of oil left in it. And the wick was very short. And it looked like at any instant the wick would slide into the oil and sputter out. Then he noticed next to his candle, there was another one also of clay, but that one was full of oil, and the wick was long and bright. And he said to the old man, "And whose candle is that?" The old man said, "I can only reveal each person's candle to himself alone." And he turned and left. And the man stood there, trembling. And he wondered if it was possible that the end could be so close and he wouldn't know it. And all at once he heard a sputtering on another shelf, and he jumped and he saw smoke rising on that shelf and realized that somewhere a person's soul had just taken leave of this world. And then he looked back at his own candle and he knew he only had instants left to live. Then his eyes were drawn to the candle next to his own, so full of oil. And a terrible idea entered his mind. And he looked around the cottage, but he didn't see the old man anywhere. And he picked up the candle next to his own. And he lifted it up above his own. And at that instant, the old man appeared out of nowhere. And he gripped his arm with a grip like iron. And the old man said, "Is this the kind of justice you are seeking?" And the man closed his eyes because it hurt so much. When he opened his eyes, the old man was gone. And the cottage and the candles had all disappeared. And he found himself standing alone in the forest. And he heard the trees whispering his fate. And he wondered, had his candle burned out? Was he too no longer among the living? Okay, well, that's a story called The Cottage of Candles. It was, remarkably enough, collected in Israel by a wonderful organization there that was founded by Professor Dov Noy of Hebrew University, who spoke here. Rabbi Stippen brought him here some maybe 10 or a little more years ago. And this archives, which is housed in Haifa, has to date collected more than 22,000 stories orally from every Jewish ethnic group in Israel. And this particular story was collected from a Jew in Israel from Afghanistan, of all places. Now, when I came across the story, I was somewhat staggered by it. And I was very curious about it. And there were a number of questions that rose up in my mind. And I thought I would tell you how I tried to wrestle with those questions to give you the sense of how I read a folktale and how you can read a folktale. And the first thing I wanted to know was why Afghanistan? Because it seems to me that there is a kind of logical connection between a story and the place that it comes from. And then it seemed to me that the answer was obvious, because Afghanistan is a place where there isn't much justice, is there? Even to this day, that's the case. And you can see in the story the long, futile, and even desperate search for justice that this man devotes his life to and never succeeds in finding. And then I wondered a kind of folklore type of question, the folklorist obsession in me. And that was, is this a Jewish story? Well, I looked at it, and yes, it did say right there at the front, there once was a Jew. And it did have that verse from Deuteronomy, "Justice, justice shalt thou pursue." But beyond that, was it a Jewish story? So then I started looking at it more closely. And then I discovered that there was another biblical verse hidden in this story. And that one was equally as important as the one from Deuteronomy. And once I tell it to you, I think you'll see it. It's from Proverbs, and it says, "The soul of man is the candle of God." Now, can you see how those two verses really form the foundation of the story? The first verse from Deuteronomy, "Justice, justice shalt thou pursue," gets the story going. Initiates the quest. The man goes off on this quest to find justice. In the same way that in thousands of fairy tales, the hero goes off to find the lost princess, or the sword of Moses, or the golden bird, or something like that. Here it's an abstraction, justice. But nevertheless, he devotes himself to it. And the second verse, the one from Proverbs, creates the second episode of The Cottage of Candles. And to me, this made a lot of sense, because this is the way that Jewish folklore works. Jews are obsessed with meditating and trying to understand the Torah and the rest of the Bible. And thus, they spend a lot of time on it. And I would say, if you would take some Jews and give them these two verses and give them a while, say 1,000 years, you know, you'll end up with a story just like this. That is the folk process. That's how it works. Okay, well, there were a few other questions I had about the story. I wondered about that old man. Who was he? The first answer that came to my mind was the easy one. Maybe he was Elijah the prophet. You remember that God is always sending Elijah on various kinds of missions, and he's always in disguise of some kind. Maybe here God has sent him to test this man, who has devoted his life to seeking justice. At the end of his life, to see if he himself is truly just. Or, it occurred to me, perhaps he was one of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim, that is to say, the 36 hidden saints. Because according to the Talmud, there are 36 hidden saints in the world, and they are the pillar of the world. God permits the world to exist because they exist. Only Noah knows who they are. Frequently, they're hidden like in forests, as in the story. And therefore, there was an old Jewish tradition that you should be nice to everybody because they might be one of the 36. Jim, what do you say we bring this one back? All right. He might be one of the 36. All right. Another idea that occurred to me on a less optimistic day. Maybe the old man was the angel of death. Maybe he had been sent to take this man. But before he took him, he gave him this test, which unfortunately he failed. And then on one of my chutzpah dip days, it occurred to me, I think this was while I was swimming one day, maybe it was God himself who came to deliver the test. In any case, the man is tested. And this is what we would call a divine test. Now, immediately that rang a lot of bells. Think about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God says to Adam, of any tree in the garden you may eat, except for the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And later on, Adam and Eve eat just of that tree, and they have a confrontation with God, and they are expelled from Eden. They fail the test. Or, think about Genesis 22, which you're very familiar with, and that is the binding of Isaac. God says to Abraham, take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, to Mount Moriah, and sacrifice him. And Abraham leaves early one morning without telling his wife. And he goes to Mount Moriah. And he goes up the mountain with his son. And his son says, I see we've got the firestone and the knife, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says, God will provide. And then it turns out that Abraham's planning to slay his own son, on whom all of his future depends. All of those covenants that he made with God depend on the son. And only at the last instant does the angel of the Lord call from heaven, stay thy hand. And so Abraham doesn't slay Isaac, but he does pass the test. Or how about the case of Job? In the prologue to Job, in the book of Job, God and his good buddy Satan are in heaven together. And God is bragging to Satan, look at my fighting servant Job. Look, he's so faithful to me. And Satan says very cynically, he says, well, of course he's good to you. Look how you rewarded him. You've made him wealthy. He has flocks. He has lands. He has a beautiful family. He has good health. Take some of those away and then see how faithful he'll be. And they make a bargain with each other to test Job. And terrible things happen to Job. He loses his family, loses all his wealth. He gets leprosy. And yet he remains faithful. He passes the test. Well, in light of those tests, those divine tests, isn't it possible that Jewish folklore created another example of a divine test in this folktale? So for that reason, for the role of the two verses from Deuteronomy and Proverbs, for just the appearance of this Jew searching for justice, which is a pretty basic Jewish idea, isn't it? It's a very Jewish story, actually, isn't it?